she went her way and called Mary her sister secretly, saying, "The master has come and calleth for thee." As soon as she heard that, she arose quickly and came unto him. Now Jesus was not yet come into the town, but was in that place where Martha met him. The Jews then which were with her in the house encumbered her when they saw Mary, that she rose up hastily and went out, followed her, saying, "She goeth unto the grave to weep there." Then when Mary was come where Jesus was and saw him, she fell down at his feet, saying unto him, "Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died." When Jesus therefore saw her weeping, and the Jews also weeping, which came with her, he groaned in the spirit and was troubled. And he said, "Where have ye laid him?" They said unto him, "Lord, come and see me." Jesus wept.
Jesus wept. Why? Why was Jesus weeping? We see here what appears to be a very human side of Jesus. He's the Son of God. He's divine. He's perfect in every way. He's all-powerful, yet he's crying. Why is he crying? He displays this very human emotion. Does he weep for Lazarus? He is his friend, and in verse 5 it says, "Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus." Does he weep because someone he loves died? We do. When someone we love dies, we weep. We mourn them passing. We won't see them again, except perhaps in heaven someday. But why does Jesus weep? He knows he's going to raise him from the dead. I mean, that's why he came. He waited 2 days after he heard he was sick. He was going to die, and then he came. In verse 11 he says, "Our friend Lazarus sleeps, but I go that I may wake him out of sleep." So why is he crying? Why is he crying? If we look back a few verses, we find out. In verse 33, John 11:33 says, "When Jesus therefore saw her," Mary, "weeping, and the Jews also weeping, which came with her, he groaned in the spirit and was troubled." Jesus weeps not for Lazarus. He weeps for Mary and for all those who are crying because Lazarus is dead. He weeps for those who are saddened by his death. He feels their pain. He feels their sorrow and their loss. And he cries because of that. They weep because Lazarus died. And why did Lazarus die? Because of sin. Because sin came into the world and death came with it. Romans 6:23, "For the wages of sin is death." So Jesus weeps because of sin in the world. He weeps because of death in the world. Sin hurts the creation that God loves beyond all measure. And that's what makes Jesus weep. He weeps for his people. So what we see here is not really a very human side of Jesus. It's a very divine side of Jesus. We see what is the very essence of God, and that's love. We see Jesus weeping out of his love for his people and the pain they feel. So 1 John 4, 7-8 says, "Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. And everyone that loves is born of God and knows God. He that loves not knows not God, for God is love." We see Jesus weeping for his people because his people are in pain. They're hurting because of the sin in the world. He's watching his people suffer, and it's hurting him. That is why Jesus wept. That's why we weep as well, mostly. Sometimes we weep for joy because emotions get the better of us. But mostly we weep because of pain, pain in our lives, physical or emotional. I've been thinking about weeping a lot lately for a number of reasons. One of them is this verse, and this verse has come up recently a couple of times. Seems like my son has had some problems remembering his memory verses. We're going through the week, and on Saturday night, he says, "I just can't remember this. I want a new verse." Well, it's Saturday night. If you haven't been able to memorize this all week, you can't start with a new verse on Saturday night. He says, "Oh, I'll just say Jesus wept." Well, that's a good verse, but I don't think so. You can memorize this verse. So I play the bad dad, and I make him memorize his verse. But he wants to say this one. Another reason I've been thinking about crying or weeping and this is not a bad thing. I don't want this to come across funny. It's just that, or come across mean or bad, but it seems that we have these big, strong men in our congregation, and we get up front here, and all of a sudden we get all weepy and emotional, and just out of nowhere, we can't talk, and we're crying. And it happened to me last week when we talked about fathers and Father's Day. I had no intention of getting all broke up, but I got up here, and I couldn't even hardly talk because I wanted to cry. It was a good cry. It wasn't a bad one, but seems like we have these strong guys that get up here and get very emotional, and that's not bad. It's a good thing. The last reason that I've thought about crying, of course, is the death of my mom. The death of a parent, at least for me, seems to be a very defining moment in your life. It's the end of something that you've always known. The person who gave you life, at least for my mom, okay, here, now I'm going to cry. The person who gave you life, the one who was always there, always supported you, always comforted you, always loved you, is gone. The one unchanging constant you have in your life, in this world, is gone. It leaves you feeling lost in a way, at least it did for me. Because my father was parents were divorced, my father was gone, has always been gone. He's in my life, but he's not that constant that my mother was. And so now she's gone, and obviously it causes some problems. I knew I was going to have a hard time with it, I just thought it would be more intense, and then I'd get over it, but it's been less intense, but longer duration. However, reading these verses in John here, 11, it gives me some encouragement. It makes me think about the situation a little bit differently, because Jesus wept for his people and for their pain. I think that Jesus wept for me, too. He weeps for me and for the pain I feel. And though I've lost the constant of my mother in this world, I still have the constant of God. He gave me life, a new life, a life eternal, a life that won't ever leave me. He's always there for me. He always supports me. He always loves me. And he won't leave. I can only leave him, but he won't leave me. So he encourages me. I didn't realize until I looked back at my last two talks, I see God was helping me as I prepared those talks, even though I wasn't thinking about it consciously at the time. A week before my mother's death, I gave a talk about being prepared. I wasn't thinking about her at the time. I really wasn't, but it seemed very appropriate. Her death was very sudden. We knew it was coming, but it was a lot sooner than we expected. So I talked about being prepared. And although I think she was prepared, I was not quite so prepared. I kept asking her, "Are you ready, Mom? You talked to God. Are you ready for this?" She was. I wasn't. I was the one who was unprepared. Then a few weeks after she died, I talked about being strong and courageous in the face of this world and its troubles, facing things that come up. Again, not thinking about her, but about trying to do the right thing in this world, doing God's will, but being strong and courageous when things happen. So I think that talk was for me. I always say that my talks, although I prepare them for you, they're really more for me than for anything else. I'm the one who gets the most out of it. But sometimes I still feel like weeping. So I looked to the scriptures for support. So first I wanted to see if there were other times when Jesus was crying. We have this time here in John 11. Is there other times when Jesus was crying in the world? I can only find one other situation where it's described. And if you look in Luke 19, it says, "As he approached Jerusalem and saw the city, he wept over it and said, 'If you, even you, had only known of this day what would bring you peace, but now it is hidden from your eyes. The days will come upon you when your enemies will build an embankment against you and encircle you and hem you in on every side. They will dash you to the ground, you and the children within your walls. They will not leave one stone on another.'" So again, we have Jesus weeping for his people, for the pain that they will suffer because of sin in the world. Destruction of Jerusalem, destruction of the temple. We see Jesus displaying his love for his people. It's the very nature of God. Then if you look in Hebrews 5:7, it says, "During the days of Jesus' life on earth, he offered up prayers and petitions with loud cries and tears to the one who could save him from death." So we're told that Jesus cried as he prayed. He was praying for his people, and he was crying tears of pain up to God so that he would help them. Praying for mercy to forgive their sins, for their lack of faith, for their weaknesses. But again, through pain. So then I went to look in the scripture and see if I could find the first time it mentions someone crying. I wanted to see if it's in there. Of course, it's kind of difficult because the King James Version talks about people crying out, and I don't know that that's crying so much as it's going to God and asking for stuff. I'm sure, although it's not mentioned, I'm sure that during the flood there was a whole bunch of crying going on. And it wasn't God's people that were doing the crying. It was everybody else. But it doesn't say anything about it. The first record I could find of weeping, at least in my version, is in Genesis 21. We find Hagar, the handmaiden of Abraham. She'd been banished by Sarah into the wilderness, and she's laid her son Ishmael down, and she's gone off, and she doesn't want to see him die. She thinks we're going to die, so she doesn't want to see it, so she's weeping because of that. And then soon after that, in Genesis 23, we have a record of Sarah has died, and Abraham is weeping. So in both these cases, people are crying because of death in the world, coming through sin, death or anticipated death. Sin and its consequences separate us from the one we love and create grief and pain. Most of all, sin separates us from the one who loves us most of all, and that is God. And that's something we should all weep over, being separated from God. So if we look again in Acts 20, 18 and 19, we find Paul writing, "You know from the first day that I came into Asia, after what manner I have been with you at all seasons, serving the Lord with all humility of mind and with many tears and temptations, which befell me by the lying and weight of the Jews." And then further down in verse 31 it says, "Therefore watch and remember that by the space of 3 years I ceased not to warn everyone night and day with tears." Then finally in 2 Corinthians 2:4, Paul's writing again, "For I wrote you out of great distress and anguish of heart and with many tears, not to grieve you, but to let you know the depth of my love for you." Each of these cases, Paul is shedding tears for the congregation that he loves. His love for them, his concern for their well-being, he's encouraging them to keep going, but he's crying as he's writing because he loves them. He's trying to keep them on the right path and doing the right thing. As Jesus loved and wept for his flock, so Paul loves and is weeping for his. And I wouldn't be at all surprised if the elders of our own congregation right here have shed a few tears over us and their love for us and their concern for us and their guiding us and what Paul or what Jesus is asking them to do. I'm sure that they have. So, as I said, sometimes I still feel like crying. Everybody does. Some more, some less. So what do you do? What do you do when you feel like crying? Well, all of my talks always seem to have some kind of a list in here, so here's my list for today. Things to do when you feel like crying. So number one, should be very obvious. You cry. Go ahead and cry. You need to. Sometimes you need to. You just need to. You just get it out of your system and you'll feel better. You just have to cry. I mean, Jesus wept, we can too. If you feel like crying, go ahead and cry. If you feel like crying constantly, then there's issues there and you probably need to get that addressed. But go ahead and cry. Then look in the scriptures and listen to God. Let him speak to you. Let him comfort you. Find some passages there that you like, things that you've read before that give you comfort or that are relevant to the situation that you're in that's causing you to cry. Find an example of God's people who were in similar situations. Read about them. What did they do? How did they react? What did they endure? Look for scriptures that show God's love for his people and his mercy. Some comforting scriptures in that respect. God had mercy on all of us, even though we don't deserve it. Look in there and take comfort from that. Of course, we can always evaluate our blessings. When you're feeling down, look at your blessings. Look at what you have. Things may not be going very well, or you wouldn't feel like crying, but put things in perspective. Focus on the good things in your life. Remind yourself of what's going right. It always seems like we focus on what's going wrong, all the things that are wrong in my life, all the things I didn't get done, all the things that are causing me grief. But look at the things that are going right in your life. Look at what you have, not necessarily physical things, but spiritual things. What do you have? What's going right in your life? Focus on those things. Bring them into focus. And search for your purpose. What is there a purpose in your life? Do you know what God has planned for you? Or where are you going with your life? And closely tied to that is remember the vision that God has given us in the Scriptures. What's the vision? What does God want for us? What's He told us to do? What's He want for His people? How are we supposed to accomplish that? Look for what God's will is in your life and then focus on doing that. Of course, going through the New Testament, the way we have with this, reading all these, doing this overview, I guess you could say it is, some certain themes that stick out quite a bit. And one of the themes that I've been, because I've been teaching the downstairs class, one of the themes that has really come to mind through the last couple of weeks is these constant instructions to help and encourage one another. We have to stick together, team up and stick together, help and encourage one another. Over and over and over again, the writers of the New Testament emphasize that. That's what God wants from us. We're a family. We have to stick together. We have to stick together, help each other, admonish one another when we're doing wrong, but encourage each other to do the right thing. So when you feel like crying, come to the congregation. Go to your family here. Ask for help. That's absolutely the time we need to ask for help. It's when we're feeling down. I thank God so much for the Wednesday night service. Mondays and Tuesdays, I don't feel very good. Going back to work. Come Wednesday night, I thank God we have that service, that time that we can get together. She tries so hard to make me smile on Wednesday night. She tries and tries and tries. And it seems like I try so hard to not let her. I am not going to smile. Well, I'm down and you're not going to make me happy. Well, she does. Even if I don't let her know, she does. When I leave, I feel a ton better. I'm so glad that I come on Wednesday night. It really encourages me. So look to the congregation for help. And help someone else. The best way to make yourself feel better is to help somebody. Do something for somebody else. And it'd be a big thing. You don't have to wash their car or something like that. I mean, you could. My car's dirty. If you want to, stop by. But do something small, a small kindness. That there's a concept of paying it forward. Somebody was kind to you, you be kind to somebody else. Just some small thing can make you feel better. You'd be amazed how the smallest thing, how much effect it can have on your life when you're feeling bad. Do something good for somebody else. Look outside yourself and your own issues and help somebody else. You can also try to turn adversity into opportunity. Search for the lesson. What's the lesson here? If something's going on, there's a lesson here. What good can come of the situation? Remember Moses? Remember Joseph? Remember all of God's children who were in difficult situations, yet came out on the other side, and God had this lesson for them, teaching them, and they came out better. Almost always they came out better on the other side. What can we learn from the current situation? And of course, we always look to the future. Read about the promises God gives and the peace that will come from Him. Maybe not until we leave this world, but we can find peace in the Scriptures while we're here, but the great peace comes later on. Look in Revelation 7:17. For the Lamb which is in the midst of the throne shall feed them and shall lead them unto living fountains of water, and God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. And then Revelation 21:4. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow, nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. It's all going to go away. All the pain, the death, the sin, the sorrow, everything is gone in the end. So it may feel like crying now, but things will get better. There's peace and rest to come. God promises it. So Jesus wept. And thank God He did. He wept for the pain of His people, and then He raised Lazarus from the dead. He also raised us from the dead by dying on the cross and washing our sins from us. My talk's not very long this morning because, like crying, you probably shouldn't do it for very long. You need to be done and move on. If you haven't acknowledged Jesus as your Savior, then your sin is still with you. Death is still the enemy, and the fear of it lives in you. Now is the time to turn your weeping into joy. Wash your sins away through baptism. Triumph over death. Jesus shed His tears and His blood for you. He died for us. If that doesn't make you happy, I don't know what will. So now all you have to do is come forward as we stand and sing, and joy will reign in heaven.